Almos and Tech is recorded at Google for Startup Campus, Google's home for startups. We are now in their creator studio, a state-of-the-art video and podcast room available to startups for free. Welcome to Humus and Tech. No,
that's my line.
Kevin, okay, we're getting a divorce.
Welcome to Humus and Tech, the first podcast by Lim and for Lim interested in the Israeli high-tech industry. Now, Maggie, who you are?
We're Maggie and Kevin, and we're here now with Shelby, sales team lead at Guesty.
Hi.
Our shark, our best sales.
Oh, embarrassing.
So Shelby, tell us more about who you are. Let's introduce yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So my name's Shelby. I've been living in Israel for 4 years, in Tel Aviv only for the last year and a half. Before that, I came from California. I was born and raised in California. Grew up in Los Angeles my whole life. Eventually moved to the northern part of California, to the San Francisco area. I got my bachelor's degree at Berkeley.
What did you study?
I studied psychology, but I was pre-law. My whole life, I thought I would be a lawyer, envision myself, you know, being one of the best criminal lawyers in court.
Well, you had a like very interesting shift.
Yeah, we shifted, made a whole 180. So I was pre-law and I was doing research for a professor at the law school that I wanted to go to, Berkeley's law school. And then I was all of a sudden not just, for the first time ever, I wasn't 100% about myself. And I said, you know what, this volunteering that I've been doing has been really calling to me. I was starting to get involved in Jewish social justice organizations, actually, that, and, you know, I went to Thailand and Nicaragua and did teaching of English and work with ex-sex trafficked victims. And, yeah, it was pretty amazing. And I realized that social justice was starting to be more and more important to me. So I said, let me put a hold on this. And I found an amazing program through MASA. Everybody loves MASA. And so...
Yeah, we had a lot of MASA alumni here. So huge shout out to them.
Yeah, definitely. Project 10 in Kibbutz Harduf was what brought me originally to Israel. It was a six-month program.
What made you stay?
Yeah, actually, I had no intention of staying originally when I came. Actually, they forced me to get a citizenship when I came. I was trying to apply for a visa. And they're like, nope, you can't by law. You're Israeli because of my roots. I was like, okay, haven't been here in 10 years, but okay. And so then I got my passport and I came to the volunteer program and wow. I mean, I guess the rest is history because I'm still here.
Wow. Okay. So you got here, you did your volunteer program and how does the story develop?
Yeah. So I did my volunteer program. I was there for 6 months. I ended up staying an additional 6 months. And by then I already started to think more long term about plans in Israel. Because I was law school bound for so long, I wasn't ready to leave that entirely. And what I found was the most perfect combination of two of my biggest interests, which was a master's degree in human rights law at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was incredibly interesting, incredibly fulfilling. So I went and I did that, lived in, you know, in central Jerusalem in the city center for a year, was an incredible year. Then I traveled a little bit. And after that, I found myself working and living in Tel Aviv at Guesty.
How did you find your job at Guesty? I want to hear this story.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
It's the first time I'm hearing it.
Yeah, so two of my Israeli girlfriends both worked at a Forex company, and they were telling me, you have to come work for our company. With your English, you'll be super successful. Come. And I said, well, that kind of sounds nice, actually, to move to Tel Aviv, a new city, and to have some stability and confidence about financial income. So that was my plan. And then I went to India. And I was actually going along the Humus Trail where, with all of the Israelis. I was there by myself. And I think that this is something that really got me to also connect to the Israeli culture outside of Israel.
That's so nice. In India.
Yeah, on the Humus Trail. So,
and what is, hold on. I want to know, what is this Humus
what
Trail?
What is the Humus Trail? Okay, the Humus Trail is like all of the cities that Israelis will visit while they're in India. Like all of the known cities where you go there and there's hummus on every menu. There's signs in Hebrew. There are Indians who are like speaking Hebrew just because those cities are filled with Israelis throughout the year. So there's like a long list of cities that you can go there and be confident that you'll run into Israelis. And
that's so nice.
Yeah. And so when I was there, also that helped me with my Hebrew a lot. I was forced, in order to connect with people, to speak in Hebrew a lot, all the time. And then I met this girl, Nama. I'm going to give her a shout out because thank God for her. Thank God for her finding me. I met her randomly at a small little like restaurant slash guest house in a village in India that I was not even supposed to be in. It was like a random chance that I ended up there. And she's like, I was telling her about this plan to go and work at a Forex company. She's like, no, you're coming to work for my company. Within a week of landing in Israel, I worked at Guesty. So super thankful to Nama for getting me the job at Guesty. Of course, it was, that's a story in itself of the interview process. And actually, I wasn't even interviewing for the sales position. But that's how I got my job. That's how I found out about
Guesty. You
didn't
have background on sales, right?
Well, I had background in sales, but it was retail sales. It was actually just selling clothes.
Yeah,
that was my background. It was, you know, selling clothes and... Actually, it was selling lingerie at Nordstrom for anyone who's from the U.S.
So, a major
shift. And so when I wanted to come in and interview for the sales position, HR told me that I was not qualified for the sales position.
Okay.
They wanted to interview me for a sales development position.
And what is the difference?
The difference is one is more marketing, working with hot and cold leads. So you know, scheduling demos with salespeople for the hot leads and then trying to incentivize a cold lead to schedule a demo with a salesperson.
Okay.
So it's cold calling a lot of the day. And I thought to myself, okay, not a big deal. I always knew that I would just climb the ladder wherever I was. And I said, I'll go to the interview, but I definitely have my heart set on the sales position that I knew was open. I had done a lot of research going into the interview and I sat down with the VP of marketing and within 5 minutes, he basically told me, I'm going to go find Ben, our VP of sales. Like, and it was just, yeah, it was really cool because I went in there. I knew exactly what I wanted. And I actually took it in that moment. And so he moved me into an interview with Ben and it was awesome.
When was the moment that you knew you were good at sales?
Oh, I think I've known that I've been good at sales since I was a child, actually. But it wasn't sales. It was this law thing that I really had a way of being able to convince people of my point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why everyone always told me growing up that I'd make a great lawyer. So and then throughout my education, I always worked in sales. I always worked in retail sales. I was always one of the highest performers. It's because I talk a lot also.
Do you think sales is something that you learn or it's something like you're born with?
It's an interesting question. I think it's definitely a combination of the two. I think that a major part of being a good salesperson is being personable and knowing how to hold a conversation with people and knowing how to engage them in the right way and knowing how to pick up on cues and to be sensitive. But on the other hand, you do learn a lot about how to properly negotiate, to identify who you're speaking with. Are you speaking with a serious company? It also depends on what you're selling. A lot of these processes you can learn. For example, in my current role, a typical sales cycle can be anywhere between a month and a year. So really the ability to engage over a long period of time and stay persistent is definitely something that you can learn. But the ability to connect with you know, prospects is definitely something that I think sometimes you're born with it. You know, you can't turn everybody into a salesperson. You can teach them how to negotiate, but you can't teach them to really convince somebody that they're making a good business decision.
Okay, yeah, I get it. It's super interesting. And let's say that someone that is listening to us right now would like to apply to a sales position. What would you say are the three main things that you need to at least take into consideration or ask yourself, do I have this kind of like abilities if I want to apply to a sales position?
Ooh, the first one that comes to my mind for sure is confidence. Confidence. You have to be confident. You always have to be confident behind what you're offering. You need to be confident that this is the right move with whoever you're speaking to. Confidence 100%. And I think that confidence is what got me the job that they didn't want to interview me for. So definitely confidence is the first one. And I think... I think the second one would be receptiveness, because your ability to be receptive to how the prospect is feeling or the considerations that they're going through or how serious this investment at Guesty, it really is an investment in your business that you're trying to convince somebody to make. You need to be able to evaluate that and really feel from them and engage them in the right way and get them to, you know, share with you what considerations they're making. And if you're just being pushy or sending generic follow-up emails, that's definitely not what's going to close a big deal. You definitely want to try and be relatable, I think, as well, to really show the prospect that you're working with that you understand what their business needs are and that you really have their business's best interest at heart. So I think that all of those traits are very important, but confidence and ambition. I think ambition, wanting to perform, is a major part of being a successful salesperson. That's the way it is. You need to crave closing deals, you know.
Would you say it's a competitive atmosphere?
I would say it's a competitive atmosphere. I think that a lot of times salespeople are competing with themselves, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that they're competing with themselves. I mean, me and my team, I want what's best for my company. I want what's best for my team. So I'm never competing with other people at work. I mean, you know, it might be jokes here and there, like, oh, look at the board, look who's leading the board, you know, but these are the kind of things that keep us motivated. And yeah, is it competitive in the industry? I would say that it's very competitive to have a fulfilling sales role in this industry. Because the companies, at least the ones in Tel Aviv, are definitely looking for experienced salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be the exception to that rule, but I think that's because I came in and definitely swept them off their feet in terms of my confidence that I would do a good job, that I would learn quickly, that I already had, you know, had a solid grasp on who are the other players in the industry just from some basic research before going to mm-hmm. the interview. Yeah.
What do you think? Any person, anyone who wants to apply to any other job or it's already working in a different role, what are the things that we can learn from someone who is doing sales every day? What can we incorporate from them on our day-to-day jobs?
It's funny because maybe because I'm such a natural salesperson, or being a salesperson is so much what I do, that I think that being a, like I'm selling everything constantly. Like, it just doesn't stop, you know, everything I do. Every experience that I have, it's passion, and it's being able, and it's enthusiasm, and it's being able to communicate that to people around you. So I'll be like telling a story about my childhood and people are like, you're selling, like, what are you selling? I'm like, nothing. It was just amazing, you know, and I can typically, you know, it's easy for me to share like how I feel with others and hopefully make them feel the same also.
So
yeah.
I want to hear you pitch Hummus and Tech.
Okay.
How do you sell Hummus and Tech to someone who hasn't listened to us or doesn't know
us? Never heard us.
Yeah. You know, up until recently, I'm sorry, Kevin, we've been working together for a long time. Only recently I listened to Hummus and Tech for the first time and I was really blown away. I think one of the most amazing things about a podcast like Hummus and Tech is how relatable everyone who's featured is, how relatable it is, how inspiring it is to know that people come here and have so many challenges and can just, that there's so much support and there's so much community. And I learned all of that from just like one or two episodes of Hummus and Tech, that people just like me are coming from abroad, they're working really hard, they have ambitions, and there's opportunity and you just need to grab it, and you have, like I said, just so many support and resources. And the more you listen to Hummus and Tech, the more I guarantee you will be successful in finding a job in the tech world in Tel Aviv.
Buy me a subscription. That, buy me two subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. For
that
sure.
That's amazing. Okay. So you started this job. Okay. And what was your position at the very beginning?
I was just an account executive.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you ramp up to like all of a sudden being a team lead, right? That's a massive jump.
Being me. Yeah.
So
first of all, like, for me, everything that I do, I put my whole heart into it. I really want to succeed. I really want to do the best that I can. In the first few months or maybe even a year of working at Guesty when I was an account executive, sleepless nights. I mean, a salesperson who's really, really motivated and has zero time management or work-life balance the way that I do, because some salespeople might have more discipline than I do, but it's living in your Google Calendar. It's waking up in the middle of the night and seeing emails and responding to those emails. And that's really that's what helped me to have exponential growth within my company, to understand the market, to better know the product, to know best practices and to learn how to close these types of deals. You know, it's not like selling bras anymore, but I learned how am I going to close these deals. And so basically, I also really wanted to share that. It came really natural for me to find a bottleneck within the sales team or within part of the company that I could have an impact on and just remove that bottleneck. And I did that over and over again. And that was, you know, oftentimes doing things that were outside of my role. And I think that's what made it a very natural decision for the sales team to promote me and help and have me manage now half of our team, including our salespeople abroad and in different countries. Mm. So
I think that applies to everything, like going beyond what is the requirement,
yes.
Like trying not 100%. Only to excel at your job, but giving a little bit more. That's what makes
you need
you
to be
stand
like beyond
out.
Expectations. Right?
I don't think that any successful salesperson does the bare minimum. I mean, I think it's just the complete opposite. I think you need to have the drive to do the very best you can all the time to be a stellar salesperson.
And okay, now you have people that you manage, right?
Yeah.
What is your what do you tell them in order to succeed? Like, you have this team and you need to like, okay, let's motivate it.
Yeah.
How do you motivate your team?
Yeah, so well, how do I motivate my team is pretty much a different question than how do I like train my team to perform, because motivating my team, I love to motivate my team by recognizing all of their small wins, you know, to really making them feel recognized and really making them feel proud of their accomplishments, and to make them know that you know, it's not going unnoticed that they're performing and performing well. In terms of training my team, just recently our company has expanded. We're expanding globally as well, and so
we're constantly hiring.
Yeah. So I was training a lot of people who had no industry experience. You know, maybe potentially no background using a CRM, a super basic tool for any startup company. And by the way, I did not know how to use a CRM when I started working at Guesty, but. And so training them on best practices, managing a pipeline, that's definitely something that is going to be a major part of being a salesperson at a tech company, especially a solution that's more geared toward businesses. So having a pipeline and following up and being able to utilize your resources in a company, like in most tech companies, there are a lot of resources for you to utilize, knowing how to make them more efficient, training them on where to go to get their questions answered, teaching them best practices in terms of how often you want to follow up with somebody, being able to read the cues that they get from, you know, prospects in their emails and how to respond to that. And I think that in my company specifically, nothing is black and white in terms of pricing or in terms of functionality or in terms of growth. And so a lot of the time it will be case by case basis. So making myself available to walk my team through examples that they're going through. Oftentimes we'll have weekly one-on-ones and they'll have a list for me of, you know, the prospects that they're working with and the struggles that they're having to close the deal. And then we'll brainstorm together and I'll, you know, try to challenge them to look outside of the box and hopefully get them to be able to close the deal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who is considering making Aliyah or considering making Masa or here and doesn't know, I mean, what it takes to get a job or what it takes to be able to stay here? What would you say to them?
I think that one of the amazing parts about the Israeli culture, especially coming from America, where everyone is really polite and well-spoken, is being aggressive. And I think that also relates to having ambition in a way. Like, you need to take what you want. And Israel is the number one example of, like, that's what you need to do. Masa is an amazing opportunity for anybody who's wanting to dip their toes in experiencing what Israel is like. For me, that was my starting point for sure. When I had no intention of staying in Israel, I was on a Masa program, and of course, I fell in love with Israel. Mm-hmm. So good luck coming on a Masa program and not staying in Israel. So definitely taking advantage of one of those opportunities is a great idea for anyone who's thinking of coming or at least trying it out. And you can also intern at different high-tech companies and see what calls to you. And then I think that taking the plunge and going and knowing that if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but coming and taking a risk and
it's worth it.
It's so worth it. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know,
we have a word of the day, which is a very special word that each and every single one of our guests picks very carefully so we can teach all our listeners this new Hebrew word.
Yeah, and I can also learn Hebrew,
and
right?
Also, Kevin can learn Hebrew, which is also like
the
main
idea
of doing this
podcast.
Podcast. Basically, yeah. So we're dying to hear the word you picked.
Okay, so the word that I picked is a word that I used consistently throughout this podcast, just in English. So the word that I chose is sheifot. And sheifot is ambitions.
I didn't know this word. Okay.
So sheifot is ambitions. And I think that to really be really successful as somebody new in a new country, you need to be very strong and filled with ambition.
Okay, so you're filled with chefot.
Yeah.
Chefot. Chefot. That's a beautiful word as well.
Yeah, I love that word.
Oh, thank you so much for like sharing this with
me. Yeah, thank you so much for coming, Shelly. Yes. It was a pleasure having you.
We learned so much, and I hope that all of you also learned so much. And now I also want to like be super ambitious and confident and sell this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you manage any properties, by the way, if you manage properties in Tel Aviv or anywhere else, you know where to find me.
Remember to subscribe to Hummus and Tech on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and clearly follow us on our Twitter account.
We don't have a Twitter account, but on our Instagram
we do have an Instagram account.
Follow us on Instagram.
Guaranteed success.
And also on Facebook.
Thank you so much. See you next time.
Bye.
Can we delete the Twitter thing? I'm like, we don't have a Twitter thing. It's like, I'm creating a Twitter for the company right now. Yeah, otherwise